Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Meeples and Mishaps. We are here today to talk to you about another game. So if you haven't got tired of board games yet, well, we're going to keep talking about them. I am one of your hosts, Corey, and this is my co-host.
And I'm Kaylin. And again, yeah, thanks for joining us. We're pretty excited to talk about another game. Before we get into that, Corey, what's new? What's been going on?
Oh, well, actually, there's a lot of big news and new things that I've been up to lately. So probably the biggest thing that we just started telling people, but my wife and I are actually adopting a child. So that's yeah. Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. It is really exciting, man.
Yeah, it's very scary, but also very exciting at the same time. We are adopting a child from India. And so we just started that process. We're kind of in the paperwork phase and the raising money phase, but we're excited. I'm excited to start a family and the chance to play more games with a growing family.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll get to start introducing them to all these Waddington games.
Exactly. What have you been up to?
Not anything quite that exciting. I introduced some people to some new games this week, so that was kind of a win for me. I played some Tiny Epic Western and Tiny Epic Galaxies.
Okay.
And then I introduced my parents to King Domino, which they both really enjoyed.
You know, I actually like that game.
Yeah, it's super simple, but it's fun. It's got some strategy, and it's surprisingly similar to the game we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's actually
when you kind of think about it. But so that's about all that's going on in my world.
Very cool. Well, also in our part of the world this week, everybody, it's actually been flooding like crazy. It is some gnarly rain we had today. My whole backyard pretty much flooded. So that was fun. Did you get a bunch of rain where you're at?
Yeah, it's been super nice because we built a garden this year, a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much not had to water it.
Like, that's true.
It's just done its thing, so it's pretty nice.
Thank you, Mother Nature. Awesome. Well, all right. So that's kind of what we've been up to. Still, the game that we are going to be talking about today. So, you know, we're keeping up with the whole Waddington special on this season two of Meeples and Mishaps, but we're actually going to be coming up with but we found this really cool Waddington's game that when we first saw it, we were kind of like, this could be cool. It could be bad. We watched a couple of videos on it and some reviews on it. And we decided, yeah, we're definitely going to do this game because we actually enjoy this one, and we'll get to why later. But today we're going to be talking about the game Jailbreak by Waddington's. But you know the drill. Before we get into the game, let's hear a word from our sponsor. All right, and we're back. We are back with another game, and as you heard, we are going to be talking about the game Jailbreak. So, Kaylin, we decided that this was an okay game, and we were excited to talk about this one. So, what do you think? Tell us about this game a little bit.
Well, this game is a bit of a surprise. It doesn't look, honestly, it doesn't look interesting at all. It's very cartoony. It's very cheesy looking. One of the words is a spaghetti junction. That's like big on the box. Like everything about this game just looks strange. It's got these kind of like crappy car looking meeples. But yeah, we'll get into why it's a surprisingly detailed and interesting game. But so Jailbreak was a game put out by Waddington's in 1982. It should be noted that there were a couple other versions in other languages.
Yes.
Particularly an Italian one, which I thought would be French based on the policeman's hats. And then when I looked into it, it was like, no, this is Italian. And then I also found a DuckTales version, which was in a different language.
That's
but
cool.
It was definitely DuckTales, and so that was kind of a surprise to me. Like, how did you not bring the DuckTales version one into English? It seems like that would be an obvious. I don't know, maybe Disney blocked it or something, but
yeah.
So yeah, so the box is it's very cartoony. It's you know, it says jailbreak. It's got a inmate in the traditional blue and white. I guess it's kind of supposed to be black and white outfit. I guess the art style is kind of almost Popeye.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it.
If you remember that old style of cartoon. And then down in the bottom right, there's like a British police officer who's blowing his whistle at the inmate. In the picture is the board, which is a set of cards. And it kind of is splayed out to show like a bunch of different roads coming out of what looks like a prison. And then the front of the box says a Spaghetti Junction game of cops and robbers for two players or teams ages 7 and upwards for all of the family. So that's pretty much it. I mean, that kind of, it explains the game really well if you know what a Spaghetti Junction game of cops and robbers is.
Yeah, doesn't everybody know what a Spaghetti Junction game of cops and robbers is?
Yeah, it makes total sense. So, I mean, it's got, inside, it's got like two or more pages of rules. But it doesn't really need that much. I mean, it needs it, but it goes a lot faster to explain how to play it than having to read two pages of rules. So
absolutely, yeah. I think the rules are typically like on one page on that, and everything else is kind of like explaining the rules they already talked about, but it kind of like over explains in the rule book. It's like, this is actually the simplest thing in the world. How can you over explain the simplest of rules? But one thing I thought was cool is this is the first time we've done a Waddington's game where they have the designers listed. So that was kind of a first. Game was designed by Malcolm Goldsmith and Michael Kindred. And these two guys, so I kind of pulled up their designer page on Board Game Geek, and they've done like 10 games together. And a lot of them were with Waddington's, and a lot of them were with some other companies and stuff, and they all had their own individual games. But Michael Kindred is listed as designing 22 games, and Malcolm Goldsmith is listed as designing 17 games. Now, going through these list of games, they don't look like, there's no games that pop out where I'm like, oh, I've definitely heard of that game before. You know, like, I don't see like any games in here where it's like, oh, I've definitely, you know, that's on the shelf somewhere, or I know people who have that game. All these games are very kind of abstract, and like they have, so they also designed a tennis game called Game Set Match, Make a Snake game, Old MacDonald, the Farmyard Roundup game in 1987. they did another game called Cops and Robbers that's apparently similar to this game. So they must have maybe redid it and made it, and like expanded it bigger. So I just found that out. They actually did a game after the TV show Bewitched. So that's another interesting little tidbit there. So yeah, this is the first time we see a couple designers actually listed on a Waddington's game, because that wasn't really something they did early on. So that's kind of cool to be able to see that. But yeah, so Jailbreak, it's six convicts with their getaway cars are on the run with six police cars hot on their tail setting up roadblocks. The cards represent twisting roads, which can lead the convicts to freedom or land them back inside. Jailbreak is a competitive game of wits for two players or two teams if you want to pair up, for ages 7 years and upwards, but don't be caught out. All ages can play together. That is more of a description found on Board Game Geek. And, you know, Kalen, watching reviews of this game and, you know, kind of getting a feel for it, I don't really think it would be that fun with two teams, but the head-to-head definitely is the way to go with this game. But when they mentioned, like, yeah, you can do two teams, I'm like, that might be kind of boring. And
yeah, that seems kind of like a way to just include other people. But yeah. I mean, ultimately, one person, it's one person versus one person. So, I mean, you only get four cards in your hand. So, like, to play with two people, I mean, you could maybe split the cards up, or, you know, which would make it really weird.
yeah, I think that's what it is. Know, each one gets two cards.
Or you just have to both agree on which card you want to play. But there's this game gets so big that I don't know, it just doesn't really seem viable, a good way to play this game. You know, it's not like a Forbidden Island where it's like, you know, oh, there's three or four ways that we could go. Which one should we decide on? Like, this one is like, yeah, there's 50 places we could put this. What should we do?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would probably not do more than two players. I think two is the right size. So as we've mentioned, this game is a game about cops and robbers, right? And I guess technically it's not cops and robbers. It's about inmates and officers that are trying to catch the inmates. When you open up the box, you are greeted with a deck of cards. The deck of cards is, there's the first card is the jail. And it's got six roads leading out of it. And then there is a series of other cards that all have roads on them. Some of the roads go forward. Some of the roads loop and make, you know, like a dead end. Some are just dead ends. And so you're, each turn, you're taking turns playing a card to continue this road. And so the people that are playing the inmates are trying to build a road to get out of the area so that they can escape. And then the police are also playing roads, and they're trying to play roads that dead end or loop back on themselves. So the object of the game, if you haven't picked it up, is you're trying to get a certain number of inmates out of the vicinity, and the police are trying to recapture or block off a set number of inmates. And so those numbers are, you each have six. And so you're trying to get three or more away. And so it kind of lends itself towards the inmates, because obviously they need one less to win. But there are some tricky ways, and obviously the cards are kind of weighted to where there's a lot of just loops, and it's almost very convoluted, and like every card is just bizarre. And so whenever you place it, you obviously have a strategy in mind, but you could also add to your strategy down the road, or you could be, you know, messing yourself up down the road and not even know it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The way, when this board starts getting bigger and bigger, like your roads are curving in and out and looping around. And so, yeah, you can really mess yourself up if you're not paying attention, kind of like you said. And what's cool about this game is that they made the contrast to where the roads really pop out. So like it's typically fairly easy, because I hate it when games design or the art is just so busy that it's like, you know, kind of hard to follow the path or figure out where exactly you're going. But this, like, it's these bright yellow roads on this green backdrop, and it really pops out. So that way, okay, I know exactly where these roads are. It makes it really easy for you to kind of figure out where you're going. And so that's really helpful, especially the bigger that this game gets. Because this game, I believe, the widest it can get is 8 cards, and the highest it can get is 7 cards. So it's kind of like a 7x8 grid.
Right. And so the outer vicinity, the outer edges are that 7x8. So if you can get a inmate car outside, like to that 7th one or to that 8th one, then you're gold. They get out. But yeah, to your point, I mean, this game is definitely not trying to win any awards on its artwork.
Nope.
It's very simple. It's very plain, but it does lend itself to, this is a very spaghetti style game where there's just paths all over the place, and that's the point. And so if you were to do more, it would end up being a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that was smart on their part, whether they meant to or not. It worked. So
yeah.
So the only other like caveat really to this is that there are six cards for the police and six cards for the inmates that have these like exclamation marks on them, and they're big, you can't miss them. And basically whenever you place one of those down, then you put one of your cards down.
Yes.
So this is interesting because you're both drawing cards as you play. And so if I'm the inmate and I draw an inmate card, then I obviously want to put it somewhere on a path that's A, connected to the prison, because I have to be able to get from the prison to the outside, and B, is somewhere on the path to escaping.
Yep.
But if you draw it, you being the police, then you obviously want to stick it as far away as possible, because then you're guaranteeing that those inmates can't escape.
Yep.
And so it's interesting because you're building this giant puzzle, but you haven't put down the pieces yet. And so you actually put the pieces down in the middle of the game, which, I mean, you could be building this like epic road and then you end up getting all my inmates. And then it's like, oh, well, that it didn't matter because you've put them all in places that I can't get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing I love about games like this, too, it's you both have access to the same puzzle, kind of like you're saying, we're building this puzzle together, but you both have different objectives. To the point of, it doesn't matter how much you're working on yours, I could come in and screw it up with a cop card or an inmate card in the worst possible position that just ruins, you know, your plan and your strategy. And now you've got to figure out how you can unwind that or take a quick different option, you know. And so just that whole back and forth between the two players, you know, the guards and the inmates, of just that balance of, okay, I got to get this out, but I'm going to try to screw them over. But if I screw them over, I might miss out an opportunity on playing this card for this path. And so that's really the cool give and take of this game.
Yeah. And it seems it's really interesting because, as I said earlier, you can put down a card thinking like, oh, this is going to really mess them up. And then I end up playing two cards and all of a sudden I've connected it to that epic path that I was building. And now all of a sudden I've got one that maybe my path had already made it to like the seventh edge. Mm-hmm. It's like now all of a sudden I've got one off the board and I'm two away from winning. And so like it can really change so much. We watched a video. So give a shout out to Attic Raiders. He did a really detailed, very good job explaining this game. But he, in his game, he like was playing all these cards and was building it out. And then, you know, like 10 minutes into it, he realized he had connected all of these paths and all of the cards and had built like his seventh one. And so like, he just realized, oh, all three of my cards can get out. So the inmates won. Like it was one of those, like he hadn't planned it. Like he had been kind of trying to get one out, and without even noticing, he got all three of them out. So it's pretty interesting just because you are trying to build this puzzle, but there's so many facets to it that are going on once. And like, because it's so, I mean, spaghetti is really the right word.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Because the paths are just crazy. I mean, look it up, or, you know, look at some pictures maybe in our show notes of the board and just look how just crazy the roads are. And so I think there's one thing that I didn't mention that I should have mentioned, and that is whenever you place a police car down, the police car blocks that road. And so it's a good way to just dead end a road. Whenever you place an inmate down, that inmate, as long as it's connected to the prison, it can drive anywhere on that path. So you're not just putting them down and then saying he's driving this way and then hoping nothing blocks him. He can actually reverse and go anywhere that's on that path. And so that's kind of how you, or that's how Attic Raiders did it in his game was two of his paths got blocked, but then he realized he had connected them all. And so when one got out, all three of them got out because the other two backed up. So
yeah, so that's the cool thing too. Yeah, as the inmates, you can reverse your car and realize, oop, I can actually go this way. So it's always important to be paying attention to those paths. So Jailbreaks is actually a pretty cool, like, strategic game in that sense. Now, one of my things that I kind of wish they would have done too, like Attic Raider said in his review of this game. So these are on typical poker size cards. And so with poker size cards, there are six paths that are basically on these cards. Is it six? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, typically six paths. And so you can only lay them vertically as you lay cards to connect paths. You have an exit going up the top, the bottom, and then two on each side. But as kind of one thing he said, if they would have just done square cards or square tiles for this game, it would have opened up a lot more options for paths. And that would have been probably really cool because of different orientations. Like, because you can't turn these cards sideways, you really only have two options to lay these cards down. You know, I can flip it around 180 degrees or flip it back 180 degrees. But with the square tiles, you know, you've got four sides to work with. So that probably would have been a little cooler. It would have opened up a lot more options for roads. But they may have also done it this way because they didn't want to open up that many variables either. That's more of kind of a control thing on this game. But this is a pretty cool game, and we're pretty excited that we found it. And once again, there's so many different versions of this game. Like, I'm sitting here scrolling through pictures on Board Game Geek, and they're all basically similar, but just variations also depending on the country that you get it from. But I definitely want that DuckTales version. I think we should find that and just translate the rules somehow, because that definitely looks really awesome.
I mean, I imagine it's exactly the same. It's just got DuckTale characters. I would be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, I love DuckTales. Also, thing to note on this game, so there is one card in this game that completely helps out the inmates. It is the roundabout card. So most of these cards are just like straight path lines. So you only have a few options, you know, to follow this path. But there's one card that every time, every review and every player that I've read that's played this game has said, once that card comes out, like, it's, unless it gets blocked really fast by the cops, like, this roundabout offers so many variations for the inmates to get out. So if you play the inmate in this game, just so you know, there is one card that is your best friend, and you better hope it shows up in your game.
And so along the lines that you were just saying about, it'd be cool if they kind of upgraded it. I mean, if Frustration Games grabbed this and decided to do an upgraded version, again, Attic Raiders talked about making the meeples a lot cooler, having like actual like cop cars, and then maybe like, yeah, some like doohickey of like junker cars that the inmates have, or you know, maybe having like a police barricade or something, or, you know, there could be some pretty cool options to just really spruce up this game and just make it look awesome. But I mean, yeah, who knows, maybe they will, but kind of depends on if this game surges back into popularity or not.
Yeah, this game is very hard to find right now. I really want to find a copy of this game, but it is extremely hard to find. So maybe we'll find it, and maybe we'll find that DuckTales version. So we'll just keep an eye out for it. Now, as far as the history of this game, so as you know, the running joke so far has been every game we've talked about, has it been a cash grab? Has it not been a cash grab? This might be the first game that I don't know if there's a cash grab for this. Do you know of any events that happened around in 1982 that would cause them to make this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's kind of interesting because Jailbreak, it's such a, I guess, kind of vague thing. Like, it's not like WCW, which is like, there's only one and it's specifically about this, you know? This one is like, I mean, there were plenty of jailbreaks, right? I mean, Alcatraz was a big one. John Dillinger was a big one. There were a couple British ones, since this is obviously a British game. Alfred George Hines and Biggs. There was a huge one, surprisingly, the year after this game came out. So in 1983, there was 38 IRA inmates escaped from a unescapable jail, right?
Dang.
And as far as I know, they all escaped. Like, they got out. But and then, of course, you know, like the famous like Great Escape. But none of those. I mean, Alcatraz was 62. Frank, which is, if you've seen the movie Catch Me If You Can,
mm-hmm.
That was 1971. John Dillinger was 33. The closest one would have been Biggs at the Wandsworth prison in 1965. But that's almost 20 years before. So, I mean, it doesn't really seem like there's anything like that. Now, there were some like movies, because obviously they're popular in movies too.
That's true.
So the movie Escape from Alcatraz in 1979 with Clint Eastwood would have been pretty big. But I mean, the cartoony style of this game would have nothing to do with Clint Eastwood, you know? Mm-hmm. It just, in any movie that Clint Eastwood's ever been in, you could not describe that as cartoony. So you know, it doesn't really strike me as that. I mean, there were scenes. I think there was a scene in Rambo where he escapes from a prison, and I think that came out this year, 1982. Okay. But that's not really, you know, it has nothing to do with this, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think this is just really, it's not a cash grab at all. I think it's just a really popular I guess kind of type of story that everyone would be familiar with.
That's true. Like, pretty much every kid has also played this. And if you play Minecraft, there's a lot of RPG Minecraft maps where it's like escape from prison, or, you know, the prison escape. So it's definitely a theme that has been in literature and movies and kids games and books since forever ago. All right, so that is Jailbreak. I don't think I have anything else on this game. This was a two-person design team that designed this one, which you can tell. I feel like when they're actually labeling their designers, it's on a game that's a little bit more thought out, I guess you could say. So maybe that's the theme. If we can find the Waddington's games with the designers listed, maybe that's how we'll know it's going to be a bit of a better game. But this was kind of a fun diamond in the rough. Do you have any other things you need to add before we move to our final thoughts, Kalen?
No, I don't think I have any other thoughts. I mean, I think we should just jump right into the final thoughts.
All right. I went first last time. You want to go first this time?
All right, bring it on.
Do it.
So, final thoughts. This game is very surprising. When you look at it, it doesn't look interesting. It's super cartoony and cheesy looking. It's got the name Waddington's on it, which is kind of a red flag. I did not expect to like this game, and I'm very surprised that it intrigues me so much. I especially don't like one versus one games. I know I talk like every week about Santorini, and it is a good game and I do like it. But like, I would never play chess. I would never play checkers. I mean, even like the Tiny Epics, I prefer to play with three or four people. You know, I've got Tannhauser, which is a great game. I've only played it once. So for this game to be one versus one and just be so interesting, it really surprises me. But I think they really knocked it out with the cartoony style actually really lends itself. I think thematically it's perfect. They've got this, all these people trying to escape, and all the police are creating these roadblocks, and And the inmates are discovering the path as you play, essentially, even if you haven't placed the inmates yet. The fact that the next card that gets laid down could be a loop, and it just puts them right back on the path that they were on, you know, effectively being a dead end. Like, when you're trying to escape from the prison, you know, like, you're just trying to get out. Like, you're not thinking about what road you're driving on, right? And so, like, even that feels thematically right. And so then, you know, the two players getting the same cards, which could have very different effects. You know, if the inmate draws the police card, they can use it to great advantage. And then if the policeman draws the inmate card, they can use it to great advantage. And so there's just so many multiple layers of strategy here. And then the game is big. It's a 7x8 grid. And so there's just so much to do. There's so much strategy and just trying to figure it out. I mean, I think the two guys that designed this did a really, really phenomenal job, and they made a really quality game, even if it doesn't look like it. It is. And to me, that's the most shocking thing. It's it more than just Waddington's putting out a good game, because, you know, they've got to have some good ones in their list of just hundreds of games. And so the fact that this one is just the most unassuming, we thought it was just going to be hysterical and lame and terrible, and it's not any of those things. To me, that is outstanding. So that's my final thoughts.
Great. Yes. So kind of piggybacking off of that, we definitely looked at this game at first, and just from the first look of it, we're like, oh, this is probably going to be a very weird, abstract-y, kind of make no sense game when we hopped into it. But like you said, definitely surprised, and this might be one of my favorite Waddington's games. I love discovery games, path discovery games, where you're, you know, as you play, the path gets bigger and you're discovering where it goes. I love games like that. So this one definitely intrigued me when it came to that. And the whole tension between the two players of, we have the same map. We both have the same pieces of the puzzle, and we're going to try to put them in a way that benefits us and not the other person. So I love that tension of the game there. They did a great job with that. Having a small amount of cards in your hand, and I don't know if we mentioned this, but as you play a card, you don't get a draw until you've played all four of your cards, and then you draw four new ones. So that makes it cool too, and a little bit more tension, because once you play a card, well, I only have three left. Then you play another card, I only have two left. So I got to be really, you know, strategic where I place this. Oh, I only have one card left, I better make it count. And then you get to draw four more cards and repeat the process. So that was kind of a really cool thing they did. They could have just been play a card, draw a card, play a card, draw a card, but you have four to choose from. But they were like, no, let's make it a little bit more interesting in that sense. So for these two guys to make this game, it was definitely more thought out. And so this is definitely a game that if I can find, I will add it to my collection. Because, you know, we watched the crap out of this. We've researched and reviewed all we could from this game. And now I just got to hunt it down from somebody so I can add it to my shelf. So well done, Waddington's. This game was really cool, really thought out, and it was just a fun little easy strategy game that you can kind of just keep on replaying because the board changes, you know, the dynamic changes each time you play. So it's definitely got some replayability in there. But yeah, so this one actually gets a couple thumbs up for me. Good job, Waddington's, and that's my final thoughts. So thank you all so much for joining us for another episode of Meeples and Mishaps. We are so excited to be back every week or so whenever we get these out and to hang out with you all and get to just talk about board games. So I guess until next week, as always, I'm Corey.
And I'm Kalen, and thanks for listening.
This has been a production of the Quirkosity Podcast Network, a network of small to mid-sized independent podcasts with the same goal: to have fun and keep it quirky. Quirkosity, where podcasts and quirky meet. Visit quirkosity.com today to find out more.